Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
The title of the message is The Danger of Criticism. The danger of criticism. The Lord wants us to be discerning. He wants us to be able to tell what is good and what is evil, what is better and what is best. But invariably in life, things can come up where it's, in and of itself, it's neither good or evil. It's more or less how it is perceived. And today, with the whole idea of mask, wearing a mask, is that good or evil? No, the problem is how people perceive it. And sadly, the devil would love to get churches and church families arguing with one another. He would love to divide and conquer. I was listening to Tom Rainer. He has a Christian broadcast for pastors. And he was interviewing his son, who is a pastor, and he said, "Son, is there division in your church right now over, you know, social distancing, not social distancing, wearing masks, not wearing masks, whether this is legitimate or, he said, "Dad," he said, "it's 50-50. And he said, "The other day, one of our staff people was called a Sunday school teacher to get her opinion on something, and it was a Zoom thing with her and her husband. I think they were both teachers." And he said, "This is a married couple that teach in our church. The lady that was in charge of the Sunday school called them to see if they would be willing to teach Sunday school again. And she said, that couple got in an argument with each other over the phone. The devil couldn't be happier when he divides us. Because when he divides us, he conquers us." So here is the Bible's answer to that. And if everybody in this church will buy into this and practice this, we will not have any division over questionable things, or as the Bible refers to it, doubtful disputations. Let me begin by just reading a little something to you. As one person wrote, it's not on the screen. It says, "The believers in Rome," that's where we're going to be looking, "were divided over special diets and special days. Some of the members thought it was a sin to eat meat, so they ate only vegetables. Other members thought it a sin to observe the Jewish holy days, or not to observe the Jewish holy days. If each Christian had kept his convictions to himself, there would have been no problem. But they began to criticize and judge one another. The one group was sure the other group was not at all spiritual. Unfortunately, we have similar problems today with many gray areas of life that are not clearly right or wrong to every believer. Some activities we know are wrong because the Bible clearly condemns them. Other activities we know are right because the Bible clearly commands them. But there are areas that are gray. Let me give you a couple of examples. Pool tables. I've used that example before. Pool tables tend to evoke emotions out of people. Some people will look at a pool. Now, a pool table is an inanimate object, okay, that you can play a game on, hitting balls into pockets with a stick. But I suppose it's because pool tables are found in so many bars and what have you that it has taken on in certain people's minds a connotation that it is evil. Well, that's a gray area over which people can have very strong feelings. But how should they disagree over that? That's a question. Playing cards. You know, I know of people that will not have a set of playing cards in their house. They view it as being just evil. It's so associated with gambling, I suppose. And then there are other folks that don't have a gambling background, and they play innocent games with playing cards. The devil would love to use that pool table to split people. He would love to use, you know, those two inanimate objects to split people. I'll tell you one that I have a little problem with. I'll just share this with you. Where is my... Sharon. I think this happened last Christmas when I opened our refrigerator, and inside the refrigerator were two bottles of bubbly. Non-alcoholic bubbly, but bubbly nonetheless, that looked just like, I don't know, I don't know anything about alcohol. Thankfully, I grew up in a family that alcohol wasn't a factor at all. And at our family gatherings, it wasn't a factor. But y'all, you know what I'm talking about? What was it? Sparkling grape juice. But it's packaged like alcohol. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I was just uncomfortable with that. I didn't even say anything to Sharon, but I looked and I said, really? Well, first I checked to make sure it was non-alcoholic, and then I put it back on to make sure Sharon wasn't hitting the bottle. But that's just me. You know, that's just me. That's an example of what I'm talking. Others of you would look, you know, you hear me say that and you think, well, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. But I understand. You see, it's just perspective. It's perspective. Now let's bring it home. How about today, wearing of mask? There are some people that will not wear a mask, no matter what. Even when asked to. Even in showing deference to other people that would feel more comfortable if they had a mask on, they're still not going to do it. That creates some problems. Social distancing. Closing a church when the government feels it is necessary for public health. Now, if somebody closes a church just to close a church, there's no question that that's wrong and we're going to be open. But if it applies to equally across the board and you sense that the official is well-meaning and not trying to persecute churches, it is more of a public health issue, that's a different story. But out in California, churches cannot meet inside this morning. So many of you know the name John MacArthur, and you've probably seen him in the news because they are meeting inside this morning. But I've got a pastor friend out there that has another mega church, Paul Chapel, in Lancaster, California. He is not meeting inside this morning. In fact, they sent out a picture last night of the chairs set up out in the parking lot. Two good men. And each of them could cite Scripture. You know, we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 14 this morning. Let's just go back to Romans chapter 13. Be on the screen behind me. Paul teaches the Romans, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. He's talking about government. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That's telling us to obey government. But back over in Acts chapter 5, verse number 29, when Peter was told he couldn't preach by the government, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So that's a difficult situation. And a lot of it depends on how you interpret it. But for sure, there are things that come up, and particularly right now in this pandemic, that if we're not careful, Satan will put his disinformation out there. And will cause us to argue with one another. And he wins and the cause of Christ loses. And our world, our country is condemned to a life we never thought possible in this country. Let me share with you this quote concerning, or this little couple sentences about what we're about to look at. It says, when it comes to areas that are not clearly defined in Scripture, we find ourselves needing some other kind of guidance. Paul gave principles of this guidance. He explained how believers could disagree on non-essentials and still maintain unity in the church. So, when you sense that people are arguing over things for which it is not clearly right or wrong, wear a mask, not wear a mask, social distance, don't social distance, have two services instead of one. Those are all things we can argue. There is a Bible solution to that that we can all go out of here and say, oh, okay. I see it differently than that brother, but that's okay. We're not going to argue over it. We may disagree, but we're not going to give Satan a foot in the door. We're not going to be disagreeable. So in Romans chapter 14, let's look at eight different things there. Number one, it teaches us, get along with everyone in the church, even those who are immature, especially in matters of opinion. We are commanded in Scripture, especially in gray areas, and there are gray areas. I've heard some preachers, there are no gray areas. Oh, yes, there are. There are gray areas. Get along with everyone in the church, even those who are immature, especially in matters of opinion. End of story. Paul says in verse number 1, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Everybody that is a brother and sister in Christ, you are to receive them. You are to accept them as part of, as your brother or sister in the Lord. He's talking about, though, don't argue. He's talking about doubtful disputations. That refers to critical judgments on the inward reasoning of others. Unless some practice is specifically revealed in Scripture to be right or wrong, each believer should be free to formulate his own convictions about it. That's what he's talking about. He said, receive brothers in Christ. Make them your friends. Keep them as your friends. But do not argue with them. Do not get in fights with them. Do not get in verbal quarrels with them over doubtful disputations. And as I think about it, those preachers in the past that I used to hear say there are no gray areas. Okay, well, let's just put it this way. There are doubtful disputations. Would you agree with that? Okay, the Bible's acknowledging that there are gray areas, that there are doubtful disputations, things over which good people can disagree. So do not let, under any circumstances, animosity come between you and any other Christian over things that are doubtful. Okay, don't do it. You're a pawn of Satan if you do that. You can talk with someone, you can disagree with them, and yet you say, okay, let's go to church. You know, okay, let's witness, let's give. Number two, he gives an example. Okay, he tells you, get along with people, don't argue over these doubtful disputations, and then he gives an example. That's good preaching. Some people will eat anything, while others will not eat meat, fearing that it may have been offered to idols. Romans 14:2, for one believeth, here's his example, that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Now, there's an example. And the Bible, try to find a verse on that. And you can't. You know, the Bible would have been 50 and, you know, Encyclopedia Britannica's, you know, if the Lord was going to cover every little, you know, potential problem that might come up in life. So he gives an example. As I gave an example, a modern day example, pool tables and what have you. That's his example. And then verse number three, he continues. He says, what you should do is follow your conscience and let your brother follow his conscience, because God loves both of you. That's what he says. Look, verse number three. Let not him that eateth despiseth him that eateth not. This is a doubtful disputation. Paul gives us an example, eating meat. Don't be mad at him. Don't put him down if he's eating not. And let not him which eateth not, judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. I mean, we're all God's children. It's perfectly fine for somebody to say, I think wearing masks is a bunch of baloney, and another person to say, I think wearing a mask is critical. And they can disagree and yet not have to have any disagreeableness about them at all. That honors God, because both of them are his children. For God hath received him, either one. He's been saved. He's been born again. He's a brother and sister in Christ. Then we go to number four. It teaches us, be careful in matters of conscience. Your brother will answer to God for his decisions, not you. You know, they're not going to, in these gray areas, nobody's going to answer to me as to whether they should wear a mask or not. And I'm not going to answer to anybody else whether they should wear a mask or not. But I am going to answer to God as to how I handle it. Verse number four, who art thou that judgeth another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. When you get mad at somebody because they don't agree with you on some matter of conscience or opinion, you know, and you get mad at him, he's God's servant too. He's going to answer to God. We're not God. He's not going to answer to us, especially in these areas of opinion. And there's lots of them, and especially during this pandemic. So be careful in matters of conscience. Your brother will answer to God for his decisions, not you. And then he gives us a second example. First example was, for example, meat. There are people that won't eat meat, fearing that it might have been offered to idols. And other people are eating and say, it doesn't matter, it's just meat. I don't think of it as being offered to idols. Halloween is another one of those issues. You know, some people, oh, it's a devil worship night. And other people are saying, no, I'm taking my kids out, you know, whatever. And again, I guess I'll open a can of worms with that one there. But to a degree, that makes my point. Because there's other parents that take their kids out, Christian parents take them out on Halloween, and churches that open it up and say, no, we're going to turn it into something good. We're going to have them come to church for, what do you call it, trunk or treat? You know? So again, I'm not going to lose fellowship with a pastor, you know, over something like that, that, you know, I can understand where they're coming from. They're coming from a different perspective. Maybe I wouldn't have a trunk or treat. Maybe he is going to have a trunk or treat. Bible doesn't, I don't think, you Google the word trunk in the Bible, you're not going to find it. But he says, in the second example, some people will recognize certain holidays as holy and others will not. Here's his example. Verse number 5, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Okay, God gave you a conscience. If your conscience tells you that you need to observe this particular day, then fine. However, if your conscience says that you don't need to observe this particular day, that is fine as well. That's his second example. And then sixthly, we're taught both men do what they do based on their relationship with the Lord. You have to assume that the person that disagrees with you is doing it as a child of God and from the spiritual perspective that he is coming from. And we're also influenced by our environment. We're also influenced by our background. I mean, those bottles that were in our refrigerator that looked like alcohol, but were not. I mean, my background was, I was so blessed. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, alcohol was not a part of my life at all. Or in my family or in my extent, I had one uncle that I think had a problem. But whenever I would go to any kinfolk's house for any reason, there was never alcohol there. Whether it's a birthday party, 4th of July picnic, whenever my family, my cousins, aunts and uncles got together, I was just super blessed that alcohol was never there. Never. I grew up, some of you grew up where it was a major part. Every event you went to, every wedding you went to, everything you went, you know, it was just part of your family's culture. Thankfully, it wasn't that way with me, but that might be what makes me a little more sensitive when I see that. Oh, that shouldn't be there. You know, it's an inanimate object. Is it alcohol? No. So you see, our backgrounds affect us, and we have to, the Lord is telling us here to respect that with one another. Both men do what they do based on their relationship with the Lord. Verse number 6, he that regardeth the day, that recognizes you ought to have the holiday, he regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, eateth not and giveth God thanks. In other words, be patient with each other. You know, your intentions, which are so important, are honorable. They're God-honoring. So don't fight. Don't argue. If you can talk about it in a reasonable way, I think that's fitting and proper. But when it starts getting heated over things that the Bible is not expressly clear about, then respect one another. Number 7, even though you may see things differently with your brother, he is still your brother in the Lord, all made possible by the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. Verses 7, 8, and 9. Paul elaborates further. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Paul is telling them, we're the Lord's children. Don't argue. Don't fight. I'm paraphrasing Paul now. These are things over which the Lord hasn't spoken expressly. Where he has spoken expressly, yes, do it. Where he says don't do it, then don't do it. But whether to wear a mask or not, try to find it in the Scripture. You're not. But don't argue with one another. Both of you are children of God. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Look back to the cross and look at what, you know, put it in proper perspective, that God sent his Son to die for us. And when it comes to these minor matters, I would call them, of conscience, respect one another. And then 8, he concludes with this summation. Rather than passing judgment over a brother in Christ, you need to be concerned about your own judgment from God. Ooh. We are quick to judge, aren't we? But how often are we consciously aware that the real judge is going to judge us and our attitude and our spirit and whether or not we are bringing people together or whether or not we are dividing people? Here's what he says as he concludes. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Just dismiss him. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, I best not be picking fights. I best not be so dogmatic over things that really I can't be dogmatic about. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. That should put out any fire in any church among true believers in America today, so that we can remain united and powerful in our unity for the cause of Christ. If we are fighting among ourselves, we are not fighting the enemy, the real enemy. And there are real enemies out there, spiritually speaking. 3 principles that will promote peace and harmony in the church. This is kind of a summary of what we just read. 1, good men will have differing opinions about matters not clearly spoken of in Scripture. This is normal in the church. Good men will have differing opinions over matters that the Bible does not talk about clearly. And that's normal. That's okay. Disagreeing is okay. Seeing it differently is okay. Fighting about it is not okay. 2, good men should respect and cooperate with others who see matters of conscience differently. People should allow for some difference of opinion in the church, especially in gray areas. And if you ever hear some dogmatic preacher say there is no gray area, ask him to define doubtful disputation. And you got him. And 3, good men will be more concerned about God judging them rather than them judging men. We need to be first concerned about how we're coming across and whether we are uniting or dividing, because God's, you know, we're judging them, but don't forget, you're going to be judged. I'm going to be judged. We'll conclude with these quotes from a theologian. His name is Ray Stedman. He said this: to accept him, that is a brother with whom you disagree, of course means that regardless of where you may struggle with someone and about what you may struggle, you must realize that they are brothers and sisters in the family of God, if they are Christians at all. You did not make them part of the family. The Lord did. That's the person you're aggravated with because they think you ought to wear a mask and you don't, so you're mad at them. Remember, they're part of the family. You didn't make them part of the family. God did. Therefore, you are to accept them because they are your brothers and sisters. And then he goes on to say, and you are not to accept them with the idea of immediately straightening them out in the areas in which they are weak. I think that it is a very necessary practical admonition because many of us love to argue. Yeah, some people just love to argue. My mom used to say I would argue with a fence post. Any of you ever heard that saying before, argue with a fence post? Yeah, my mom said, Glenn, you would argue with a fence post. And I was so arrogant. I said, yeah, and I'd win. That wasn't smart. That's when I got sent to my room. I think that it is very necessary practical admonition because many of us love to argue, and sometimes the first thing we want to do is straighten somebody out. When it comes to doctrinal matters and things for which the Bible is very clear, it may be time that we have to straighten someone out, speaking the truth in love. That's not what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about, hey, somebody bought a pool table. That does not make them a child of Satan. Yeah, that doesn't. I think that's a clear example of a modern day thing which good people can disagree. And the person that bought the pool table needs to understand, with this person's background, when his mom used to have to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go down to the pool hall to get her drunk husband home, yeah, that person may see that as something bad and evil. But because it is an inanimate object and the Bible doesn't speak expressly of pool tables, then, hey, we're going to show grace. We're going to show deference. We have a great opportunity right now. As the culture around us grows darker, our light should be shining brighter. And I am very excited and to a degree optimistic about us as a church. My greatest fear is what I fear for the United States. My greatest fear is that we won't be compromised from attacks without coming into the church, but that within the church we would be divided and start pulling apart. By the way, that is every pastor's concern in the country right now. Every good pastor. I read a lot of blogs. I listen to a lot of podcasts. And that is probably preachers' greatest concern today, that their people will argue with one. Just like the illustration I gave you at the beginning. A guy just calls this couple to talk to him about teaching Sunday school, and that couple get in a fight with each other. The devil's saying, yes. We have instructions. If we will follow them, the Lord will bless, and our light will shine brighter. And back to my point, and that's my great fear in our country, is that we don't have to worry about landing craft from Russia landing on our beaches and soldiers storming ashore. No, they're going to be more. We're going to be more easily defeated from within, from anarchists and leftists and Marxists and communists from within, if they have their way. But I'm not planning on them having their way. But they will if we become disunified. So, in summary, can we disagree with each other on certain things? Absolutely. Should we ever be disagreeable? Absolutely not.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's Word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.